This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 331. I have a weird itch in my gamer loins. This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And I'm slowly but surely finally returning to the land of the living after being sick for what feels like eons.
And I am hopefully recovering from a serious St. Patty's Day hangover.
Hangover. Wait, you started early. Props to you.
I know.
I'm actually kind of proud of you for that.
Yep, and I nursed the whole day.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. You know, you always got to have a little bit of the dog that bit you to help you get over any issues that you may have if you are, you know, drinking irresponsibly, even though you are of age to know how to drink responsibly. I personally enjoy the snake bite.
Mm-hmm.
As my traditional St. Patty's
black
Day drink
Black and tan is my
choice.
Shit.
Black and tan is also good. I was introduced
because I'm black and tan.
True that. I was recently introduced to the Black and Velvet, which is the Guinness with champagne. So
I want to have a black and blue.
That's good stuff. Black and blues are good too. You know, if you like the Blue Moon, and so I dedicate this beer cast to all those celebrating.
Beer cast. We're raising our glasses up high.
Those recuperating from celebrating.
We're clinking to you.
This clink is for you. Clink. And this sip is for me. Mm. Now, that's good stuff. Good stuff.
Very much like the stuff we're going to talk about in our podcast this week.
Absolutely. And we have a bunch of things to talk about.
Well,
one,
I think we really kind of have, like, one.
No, we have a bunch. Because, I mean, the big one that's, like, looming down the way is PAX East.
Yay! Next weekend.
Absolutely. The next time that you hear from us, we will be doing our third PAX East Roundtable with all kinds of guests.
Hopefully. We don't know who they are yet because it's a surprise even to us.
It is. It's dangerous to go alone, so we take these
friends with us.
And so, you know, we know that KBD...
Oh, he's always there.
From Boston Bastardade is going to be with us, as well as... Bluonic, possibly Teague from over there.
Yep, we might see Phil from our new show, The Issues Program. Well, not
we
our show,
might
but
see the Issues guy from The Issues Program. He may be in the building.
Yep.
It's very possible DCD is going to stop by.
Oh my god, the DCD should be on all of our roundtable shows.
Pretty much from the internet of the internets. It's a possibility that we will once again be joined by one of our dear friends, Gamer Edie. DJ Radma S from Anime Jam Session will probably be in the house for some period of time. We may have some other floaters stop by and share some opinions. Some people from Structure Gaming may be there. It's gonna be cool.
We don't know, so, but as soon as we do, we'll make announcements.
As soon as we have final names of who is actually confirmed to be there, we'll make sure that we put it out on our Facebook page and that you'll hear it on the Twitter. So make sure that you're following us, that you've liked us on our Land of Esh page, facebook.com/Land of Esh, that you're following ESH News on Twitter to make sure that you're in the know of who's gonna be a part of the round table. There's a possibility that it could be streamed. I'm just saying it's gonna be
it will possibly be streaming online.
There's a rumor that Bobby Black Wolf might show up.
Oh my god, Bobby!
I know, and the first thing I want to ask him is if he's happy. But anyway.
Are you happy, Bobby?
Moving right along. We got to talk about PAX stuff. But before we can get to PAX East stuff, we got to get kind of the elephant in the room. See what I did there? talked about.
Yeah.
So, God of War Ascension dropped on the 12th.
Yes, it did.
God of War Ascension has been one of the most hyped games since it was revealed at E3.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We are huge fans.
You are more of a God of War file than I am, yep. But we are both fans
of the franchise.
Okay.
We are both very impressed with the work that Santa Monica Studios does.
So, period.
Oh yeah, period end. Okay, so with the launch of the game...
Can we honestly say that it lived up to the hype?
We're going
to
talk about that. There's also been some backlash on the web from other gamers about the reaction to the game themselves. So we got a bunch of God of War stuff that we're going to talk through. And first of all, I want to preface it like this. You know, it's real easy to play a game and go, well, it doesn't have this, so it sucks. Because the other games had this, and this doesn't have this, so that automatically makes it less. And that's not, I think, a fair statement. But it's a real easy thing to do. So here's what I'm going to preface this with.
Because all the games don't have me voice acting in them, they all suck. Like that. That's an example. I don't believe that, because I'm not the best voice actress out there.
Neither am I. Okay, but here's what I'm going to say. I have played God of War Ascension all the way through once.
Uno.
I plan on playing God of War Ascension, the single player game, all the way through at least two more times.
Dos times.
Okay? That right there should tell you it's a solid game. Because as you well know, if you've ever listened to our podcast before, I don't replay a game unless it's good. I have to have enjoyed it in order to be willing to go back and play it again. Especially because there are so many new games coming out. A game has to be really good for me to give up time playing another game
to play to that replay one. It.
Okay?
Yes.
Now, before I spoil everything,
because she's going to do
I'm going to spoil it. Okay, I'm letting you know now, I'm going to.
So if you don't want to hear anything spoiled, then I suggest you don't listen to this show.
This is not the podcast for you.
This is not the episode for you.
Skip ahead until you hear Pax East, and then you'll be fine. But I don't agree with the naysayers out there saying that this game is not good and that it's less than.
Really?
I disagree. Okay, now here's what I'm
going to
say.
I think we're going to have dissenting opinions this time.
All right, and it's very well possible, okay? It happens. We don't always agree. Here's why I'm going to say this. I have played...
all of the games. All the games.
Well, with the exception of the mobile one, Betrayal. Betrayal's the only one I didn't play. I've played Ghost of Sparta. I've played...
Shadow of Olympus.
Shadow of Olympus. I've played 1, 2, and 3.
And now Ascension.
Okay? If you have ever played any God of War game that was not part of the original trilogy, 1, 2, and 3, and you enjoyed any one of them, you're going to enjoy Ascension. And you're going to take Ascension on face value for what it is. It is a prequel game.
It's a filler.
Okay? It is. It is a stopgap. Very much like Brotherhood and Revelations.
I liked Brotherhood and Revelations.
I like Brotherhood and Revelations too, but they were not flagship titles in the franchise.
Right.
Okay? But that doesn't make them less than.
Right? No. Right.
Okay. They were the games
they helped define the mechanic going into...
They were the games that filled in between the flagship touchstone titles. Ascension is the same way. Ascension is a prequel. Ascension is a game that happens before the first God of War game. So essentially
it's God of War Zero.
Correct. Okay. Ascension sets up one.
Ascension.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Assumes that you've played the God of War saga, which is basically 1, 2, and 3.
And if you haven't, then you're going to be like, oh.
If you haven't played any of those games, Ascension isn't going to make a lot of sense to you because Ascension does jump around.
Well, actually, I mean, if you played Ascension first in the right order, I mean, that leads into 1. So you might want to play them like Ascension 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, at this point, if you've never played a God of War game,
then you should start with Ascension. Because then, I mean, I kind of hate to say it, sis, but I mean, I know you really liked the game and you felt it was solid. I mean, and yes, I think I can make the statement that I felt it was a solid game, but I do think it was lacking in some things that we come to expect from the franchise.
Okay, so here's my take on Ascension.
All right.
I thought that Ascension had really good puzzles.
Agreed.
It is not a game that you are going to just walk into a puzzling area and know exactly what to do. You will have to sit there and think and kind of watch things and observe. So it slows you down at that point so that you pay attention to what's going on. You're not just going to brawl your way through this game, even though Kratos is, I think, at one of his most vicious points when playing a God of War game in this game than any other God of War game that I've played.
He was aiming for the soft, mushy parts.
It was definitely...
He sliced so much titty in this game. Like, this was a anti-boob game.
Wasn't anti-boob.
If you had titties, he was slicing them off. Mastectomies everywhere.
It wasn't anti-boob, it was just all of the antagonists were females, so...
I think he's got issues with women.
I don't think he has issues with women.
I think he doesn't like boobs very... He doesn't like his boobs that are not his wife's boobs.
In this game,
he...
But so many people pretend to be his wife. Like, I would understand.
I mean,
that.
I can understand, like, those are not my wife's titties. Bang, smash.
Bang. Yeah. Like, at that point, I'd be like, I'm with you. Like,
he is a perfectionist. He found the world's greatest breasts and then murdered them.
No, I'm just saying,
if you helped the man who was going to later convince you to kill your wife and your kid and destroy the most perfect breasts in the world, I'm sure you'd have a vengeful rampage on titties.
I would have a vendetta. Your titties would not be safe.
Your titties are not safe. Your titties.
Yep. Hide them, because I'm coming for them titties.
Good thing it's not breast cancer awareness month.
That's true.
Good thing this game did not come
Kratos
out in October.
Is not the video game character to come out and support.
All your breasts have cancer. I'm going to chop them all off.
Mastectomies for everyone.
That's not
cool.
Wow, what a horrible tangent that was.
That was really
that was
awful.
Induced by my my snake bite.
Yeah, we'll blame that one on the alcohol.
Yeah, sorry guys.
Anyway,
I love titties.
So does Kratos.
So does Kratos.
Anyway, I find that in this game, one, it plays very well like a God of War game. Everything that you expect in a God of War game is there. There's a lot of vengeance. There's a lot of bloody takedowns.
Yes.
There's a bunch of platforming that you have to go through.
There's a little bit more than what we expect in a God of War game. It was very action intensive this time around.
Yeah, but if you played going into this game, if you had played either Ghosts of Sparta or 3 again before you went into this game, you'd realize that the platforming is about the same amount that was in 3.
Okay.
And you would find that the puzzle pieces were about the length of the puzzle pieces in Ghosts of Sparta plus like 2 levels out of 3.
All right.
In the later games, you know, you really had a lot more focus on the storytell.
Mm-hmm.
And there were so many cutscenes in FMVs, which when those games came out, gamers complained that there was way too much FMV and not a lot of action. I feel like this game swung the other way, and there were fewer FMVs, but more action and puzzle.
I mean, you're never going to get there's no such thing as a perfect game that has the right amount of every element. And even if there was a perfect game, it wouldn't be perfect for every gamer.
Well, it wouldn't be a perfect game being the, what, 7th game in the series? 6th game in the series?
Yeah. But I'm just saying, so I mean, the people who were bitching about, oh, there was too much FMV, too much story, this time around, they're all appeased, but the people who really liked the story are like, they were like maybe 8 sentences of narration throughout the entire game. And I mean, I know through my experience, and I mean, I'm going to say this now, I didn't play Ascension. I watched, and by watched, I mean fell asleep while watching Ninja play, because I got so comfortable in the slashing of Kratos killing things that there was not enough to jolt me out of it to want to pay attention all the time.
Right, and you didn't watch the whole game either, because you missed a few.
I missed the first, your the first narration. Day.
You missed the first day, you missed the second chunk, which was one of my larger chunks of playthrough.
Yeah, because I fell asleep waiting for the next FMV, for the next little tidbit of story, because I'm there for the story. Because, I mean, the gameplay, I mean, yeah, it's nice and shiny and swirly and damage-inducing, but I want to know about his story. Because the pacing was so...
It was different.
It was staggered. I felt it was very staggered. So you didn't know when it was going to swift and, you know, switch into a narration or drop of information. So you were never expecting that. Like, I mean, the transition between FMV to Thing was a lot better in Ascension.
It's almost undetectable.
Almost. So, I mean, you had to be really committed to the whole game in order to know when you're going to get that. And because it was so flawless, I'm like, oh, she's fighting. I'll probably hear him say something in like a minute, and I'd fall asleep. And when I woke up, you were in a totally different area, and I know I missed shit.
Yeah, you missed things because the FMV is so woven into the story. I think that that's one of the things that is different, and I feel like that's one of the reasons why you feel that it's not evident. Because in previous games, the FMV, all the action stopped in order for the FMV to take place, and you knew and you felt that you were in an FMV, so you knew, okay, this is a plot point moving the story forward. In Ascension, these things are built in to the gameplay, so there's not always a solid break where narration kicks in and then the story plot moves along. There are times when you are actively moving the story along, and unless you play it yourself to experience those, I think that you miss that. And because you're observing it and only in spots and you miss it, you feel like it's not there, and it is. So as an example, the story in Ascension basically is that Kratos has been captured by the Furies. And the three Furies basically enforce.
They're trying to convince him to, stay loyal to Ares.
Basically, the Furies enforce bonds, blood bonds and oaths that people or other demigods and deities make with a god. So if you pledge an oath to a god and then you renege, the Furies will basically torture you until you go back to fulfill your duty.
Or torture you
until you die for going back on your oath. As the example that they give you, which is the first level you play, which is in the Hecatoncheles.
The Hecatoncheles! Hecatoncheles!
Which is a amazingly large, interactive level. It is right off the bat setting the pace for how action is going to be in this game, and the action is high paced. I will say that these boss battles are some of the best boss battles that I've ever played in a God of War series. Okay, they really and truly are. It's not just slash and slash and slash and you're fine. You really do have to apply some strategy.
You have to make use of every weapon that they give you, because they all have an intended purpose and have some type of an ability towards an enemy that you will fight.
And the ability to quick swap the weapons actually serves a purpose in this game, where before it just was more of a style flourish like in a Dead or Devil May Cry game. It really is important to change
your tactics,
as you are in the heat of battle.
Yeah.
In this game, and you get rewarded as such. And I find that to be a really good balance in the gameplay mechanic for this game. And frankly, as I was using it, I found myself wishing that some of the base mechanics that are in Ascension could be reapplied to games 1, 2, and 3, because I really feel that they would take their gameplay up a whole nother notch. But the story in Ascension is basically the Furies have captured Kratos because he is attempting to break his bond with Ares. And so they are using trickery and sorcery and torture to try and get Kratos to live up to his bond with Ares. The Furies are aware of what has happened. Kratos is not. So this takes place before, like I said, spoiling things, just in case you've never played these games before. Takes place before one where we learn the setup for poor Kratos' torment being that Ares was able to trick him into killing his wife and daughter. In this game, taking place before one, Kratos is not aware that he has killed his wife and daughter. He knows that something is up. He knows that he's been taken away from them. He knows that there are things that are being played with in his mind, but he's not yet sure what's what. So, he is aided by a shade. And the shade, we learn, is the progeny of the Queen of the Furies and Ares. So the Queen of the Furies and Ares are plotting together to bring down Olympus. So as we know in later games, Kratos has set out to destroy all of the gods in Olympus because of how he feels he was wronged. And we learned through all the games of really and truly just how much Zeus really fucked up this poor man's life. Not to mention Ares. He basically, at this point, is not yet at the point of taking out Olympus. And he's not yet decided to kill Ares. Because in this game, he just knows he wants to break his bond with Ares, but he's not sure why. And we learn as you go through the game, because of jumps forward to the present day and back in time, how that comes to be. So through the Furies and the Shade that you travel with, who helps you discover new powers, one of which being able to make a shadow copy of yourself so you can be at two places in one time, which is a huge use in solving a lot of puzzles down the road as you progress through the game. The typical attacks that we're used to having, fire, ice, some kind of nether realm power from Hades, and a electrical charge. So you have those same elements that you can work with and quick change by using the directional pad. We have our traditional Blades of Chaos, which are still the Chaos Blades that you can level up and power up using red orbs. The same thing with all of the magical elements, the fire and ice and Hades and electrical, which all have multiple levels of power-up states. So you realize that the journey for Kratos is going to be trying to clear out his head, which will mean that you'll have to take on each of the Furies in order to escape their control and set out on the path to being the Kratos that we know from game one. So along the journey, you learn about other former gods, titans, and non-human creatures that have broken bonds in the past with gods. You learn a little bit more about the Furies and Ares' claim to fame. You learn a little bit more about, and you get a little bit of a view of Kratos' life before the bond to Ares, which basically means you get to see very clearly Kratos be loving in sections towards his wife and his daughter, and see a more human side to Kratos than we've ever seen before in the FMVs and cutscenes that happen in the game. All of which are always broken up by Kratos seeing an element and realizing that it is a Fury using magic and illusion to trick him. So they try to use his wife and his child and his love for them as a motivator to get him to rejoin and take up his mantle as Ares' killing machine. Because they all know that in order for Ares to take down Olympus, he needs Kratos. So that's basically the story. These Furies are trying to get Kratos wooed back to their side. So they can assist Ares and bring down Olympus, because Ares wants to destroy Zeus.
Oh, he hits his daddy.
Correct. And that's one of the things that wasn't clear in game one. You just thought in game one, when you're pursuing Ares, that Ares is just defending himself against you so he doesn't die, but not because he has some greater ambition.
He's trying to become the new Zeus.
Because it doesn't really make sense when you think about it. If you go back to game one, why Zeus spends so much time in the game just trying to convince Kratos to give it up and join his side again. He's a god of war. I mean, if he really, really wanted him dead, he should have been able to kill him,
right? He could have been able to do it. But why is this mortal so important?
And then as you play through other games, you realize, well, it's because Kratos isn't mortal. He's a demigod.
He's a demigod.
Because Zeus is his daddy.
Man, well, where you should not have been surprised, because Zeus in common mythology fucked a lot of mortals. He liked mortal women.
Correct.
Because his wife was a bitch.
Hera was kind of a dick.
Hera was kind of a douche.
Okay. So I don't blame Zeus.
I don't blame him for wanting to tap some stuff on the side.
Okay. But that made it difficult for all of his, you know, scions, if you will.
His courtesans.
His extramarital fruits of his loins.
Loins.
You know, because when you think about it, okay, Kratos, through these stories we have learned, had to kill his mom.
Yep.
Is responsible for his brother dying.
Yep.
Kind of twice. Which I'm sure isn't easy to deal with. Is tricked by his half-brother
to kill his loving, sexy wife and child. Not sexy child, but loving, sexy wife and...
And child.
Just want to specify that.
Okay. But so basically, his dad and his half-brother are responsible for him having to kill his entire mortal family. I'm sure that that's not something that makes you really happy.
Well, I mean, if you're a demigod and you have a baby, wouldn't your baby be like fourth demigod? So yes. Wouldn't this kid have potentially been special?
Yes, very much so. It's very possible she could have been an oracle. Because there were a lot of oracles from his village.
Man, oracles are everywhere.
I'm just saying.
Bitches be oracles.
So, let me get away from the story. Because frankly, I know that you have some beefs with the story. I thought for what the game was and what it was supposed to be and where it fits in with the story literature, I found the story to be just fine.
I don't outwardly hate the story. I really don't. So here are where my zingers are, my gripes, if you will, from what I have experienced. And as I said before, I have not played it yet. I played the demo, because we talked about that last week-ish.
Yeah,
or the week before. I can't remember.
I know, it all runs together.
It's all blurry. It's a Monet. But anyway, so I have not played it. I played the demo, and I've watched through half-induced comas Ninja's her initial playthrough upstairs with Eshmom in the background, sort of, some of the time. And all I'm saying, from what I've experienced, they could have put this part, they could have put Ascension in one and made it part of one. I don't feel that Ascension constituted its own disc release.
See, I disagree. I feel like trying to put the pieces that are Ascension into another game would have made it way too long.
I don't know. These games are already relatively long. You're getting a decent amount of gameplay.
But what I'm saying is, to play through Ascension, right? If you're not going to do all the collectibles, playing through Ascension will probably take you about 15 to 20 hours.
Yeah.
I don't want to play a God of War game for 60 hours.
See?
I don't.
All right.
A God of War game has never been a 60-hour venture.
All right, fine.
A God of War game.
But I
don't think... We've marathoned a God of War game in under 24 hours.
Yes, we've done that.
And that's the beauty of the game. It's violent, it's brutal, and it's done in 20.
I seriously don't think it should have had its own disc release. I think that we could have seen a collector's edition with Ghost of Sparta and Shadow of Olympus and this game on them. All together, you know, a digital release.
You said you're not now. You'll have a...
Because I think now we're gonna get one. They're going to put them all on one. But I think that should have been their initial point, is to do it that way. I don't think the hype really lives up to the game. Is the game solid in terms of mechanics? Absolutely. Is it flawlessly, you know, graphic? Yeah, because that's a word. Panda? Yes. It is beautiful cinematically, but they've always been beautiful. And the pacing in terms of FMV to actual gameplay was phenomenal. And I'm going to give them 2 thumbs up for that. But I do not feel it should have been its own game.
I disagree.
I think it could have been DLC.
Nope.
Yep.
I disagree.
I disagree with you.
Yep. I disagree. For the multiplayer piece of it alone. Now, I would say that the multiplayer could have been its own game and could have been DLC and not on disc, but I don't agree with you on Ascension being either an add-on to another existing game, because you have to remember, Ascension was thought of after 1, 2, and 3 released, just like Ghost of Sparta was thought of after. You can't pre-plan to have, okay, we're going to have a prequel sequence of games that are going to be all before 1 and 2. Oh, wait, no. What we're going to do is do the game between 1 and 2 that answers fan questions. Because that's the real reason that Ghost of Sparta existed, was because there were people who were like, okay, there's this like block of time where we don't know where shit's going on. And so it was a service and an easy thing for them to do for a mobile device. It was originally designed for the PSP and was then later ported and upgraded for the PS3. God of War 1 and 2 were designed for and pushed the bounds of the PS2. You have to remember, those games are that old. They came out back in the day. 3 was the first God of War game designed for the PS3. You can't, at that point when you're working on 3, drop Ascension as a DLC pack or an add-on after 3 when it takes place before 1. So I don't agree. I think that it is a different God of War, for sure. I agree
absolutely
with you completely. Okay? Than any God of War experience that we've had before. But it is a different lead director. I feel like it was kind of Todd Pappy's way of saying, I'm not David Jaffe. I'm not anybody else that's worked on these games. This is how I envision God of War running. And I envision God of War running as what it was originally designed to be, which is an over-the-top action game. Because if you go back and play 1, I think that you'll be surprised at just how much like 1 Ascension plays. Because 1 didn't have a lot of FMV and story. It was only in 2 and 3 that happened. And so I think if you're looking at it linearly, and the way that you would play them would be Ascension, 1, Betrayal, Ghost of Sparta, 2, and 3, Ascension is laid out exactly the way that it should be. Because we didn't get into all of the story and the history and the real rich, rich, deep background until 3. Really and truly. And that was one of the big bones that a lot of people had when they picked up 3. It was like, wow, this doesn't really feel like a God of War, because there's not a lot of QTEs, but there's a lot of FMVs. Which I remember us sitting there talking about, I'm okay with the FMVs because I really like the story and it's gorgeous. Okay? You know, part of the reason why I feel like Eshmom wasn't as drawn to Ascension to watch it was because of just that. It didn't have the FMVs. And don't get me wrong, there are some, but not the same level as in 2 or in 3. But I don't feel like that takes away from the overall experience. I really enjoy the single-player game of Ascension. This week I'll be playing multiplayer. I think that that's really going to kind of seal the deal for me on this being one of my more favorite God of War games, because it's a return to the platform and the franchise roots. It's not a heavy rain. It's not a movie that you interact with. And that's kind of where 3 went. And it felt like. This goes back to ridiculous, huge boss battles. Quick action. You get penalized if you don't execute a quick time element.
Execute.
Quick! Okay? It's not, all right, you've seen the symbol. Now it's your chance to hit the symbol.
They really did perfect QTEs in Ascension. I'm going to give them that.
Okay? It is very much like the pain that we've had with quick time elements in Tomb Raider. Okay, you see the button. It's time to hit the button. Did you hit the button? You didn't hit the button. You thought you hit the button, but you didn't because you're dead.
Yep. And that's so, about right.
I have found myself multiple times going, and I'm dead. And I'm dead.
Hey, look, it says I'm dead again.
Oh, look, yeah, it says I'm dead.
I woke up, I'm like, oh, you're dead again?
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Yep, I'm going to try it again. I'm dead again. Dead again.
I know that you had a gripe with one in particular puzzle, that sliding.
Yeah, I will say this. I got to tell you. Okay, once again, camera is an issue because one of the elements that I feel was picked up from Ghost of Sparta and did not need to be used as often as it was in Ascension was the sliding element. So you have levels where the camera follows you very much action movie-like, either behind you or over your head, and you have to slide through areas, and there's a combination of angling, sliding, and jumping between sections in order to clear and move on to the next piece of the level. Two of these slides, if you are not exact and perfect, you will fail, you will die instantly. I think on the level where you are doing the snakes to elevate you into the temple, the slide that goes over the lava, I think I died in that and drowned in the lava like
a billion times.
That's a little bit of an exaggeration, but I'll say that
18 times.
I'll say that there was somewhere between 11 and 15 times before I finally was able to clear it. That's not a good game mechanic. That's just frustrating beyond belief. And I found myself multiple times just wanting to throw my remote in frustration.
Anger sharks were swimming.
Yep. I will say that I did not rage quit the game at any point, but I did cuss out your PlayStation a lot.
Yeah, she did.
I found myself, you know, blaming the controller for latency and all kinds of things, because I'm like, I know I just hit that button. I know I just hit that button.
She's like, Panda, your PS3 sucks.
Yeah, I did say that.
And I was like, no, it doesn't. And then I turned around and went to sleep.
Yeah, it was not cool of me. I'm trying to be the bigger person and admit that, but it's the truth.
It's all right. Think what you're going to think.
I'm really looking forward to playing the multiplayer. I think that that's going to be a unique experience as well. But I got to tell you, you know, if I got to score it, you know, on a scale of 1 to 5, frankly, I found God of War Ascension to be a 4 on the single player. The puzzles were difficult. The graphics are amazing. The boss battles were challenging. At no point did I feel like this was an easy walkthrough, even though I've played God of War games before. I didn't feel like, oh, this is old hat. I know exactly what to do.
Think, oh my God, I totally just have to hit this guy in the face. Well, yeah, that's generally the premise of every boss you fight.
You know, I
get to its brain.
I didn't feel like I was just picking up a slightly augmented God of War 3. And that's important.
Oh, I know something that was missing to make this a God of War game. Where was the sex game?
I was kind of surprised that
like
there was
they showed
sex
so
game.
Much more titty in this game, mostly mutilated by your blades of chaos. But
well, there's a lot of titty in all God of War games. It's just that this was definitely more prevalent titty because they were nicer looking titties.
Yep,
in your face.
And then you slashed most of them.
No.
Yeah. And then there was no hit it and quit it.
Yeah, but you gotta remember, this is younger Kratos, right? So this is Kratos.
I'm more faithful to my wife.
Correct.
Here.
Correct. Okay, this is Kratos messed up, still thinking that his wife and child are alive. You gotta remember, when we're playing 1, Kratos has remembered that he killed his wife and daughter.
He killed them, titties.
Okay? So Kratos in 1, 2, and 3 has no problem sleeping with every
fucking
piece
with
of
bitches
ass.
Because the love of his life is dead.
And so it took me a minute to realize that because I'm like, there's no sex game. Like, I saw the titties. I went into the harem, but
he
I
was like, I might hit some.
But I didn't do anything. And it took me a second to realize it's because I'm at the point where I still think
my wife is alive.
My wife is alive. And so then it made sense that there's no
sex game.
Mini sex, you know, sex
game. I don't know.
Game.
Back in those times, you could be in a committed, happy, loving relationship and still, you know, fuck some
But that's
bitches.
The thing that makes Kratos stand out. It's one of the reasons why the relationship in God of War 3 between Kratos and Pandora is so cute and sweet. Because you see those tinges of humanity in Kratos, where he's trying to be protective of Pandora.
He's like, I had a daughter once.
Correct.
And she's dead.
Okay. But he gets very protective of Pandora all the way up through the end. And then you actually see in this game, Kratos have moments of, as he remembers things, not wanting to shed any more blood because so much has already been shed by him when he has to make a decision.
He's like, I don't want to shed any more innocent blood. Stab!
Yeah, you know, in order to free himself and set out on the journey to take down Ares. So basically,
take down the bad guys.
Play one. But I am looking forward to playing multiplayer. I think it's just going to add even more to the game for me. And like I said, I do feel that it warranted a disc of its own. What I don't think is that it should have taken so long to do this disc. I feel like Ascension should have come out the year after God of War 3. I think we would have been ready for it then. And I feel like now people expected almost, you know, God of War 4. What's interesting to me is that as you play through the game, you actually come across a painting, because just like other God of War games, paintings kind of foreshadow.
It's like, hey, you should go look at that, because it's going to kind of give you a hint about what's
going
to go down.
About what's going down, what's happening around you, where you are in the story, where you
pictures
are historically.
Pictures are, portraits in God of War 3 are your Facebook.
Okay, and so one of them comes across and it has what appears to be a DLC code. And so I did some digging on the internet to find out, you know, if it was or if it's not. And it doesn't appear to be a DLC code, but some crafty internet peoples were able actually to decipher it, because it's actually a ciphered code. And the words that they come up with, there are two thoughts around it. And one is that it's foreshadowing for the next God of War game. Because the words that pop up are like sun, lion, I forget what the
Helios?
The other two. No, because you basically take out Helios' kid in Betrayal. But there are two schools of thought right now on what the deciphered translation means. And one, a bull and something else. But one is that it's foreshadowing for the next God of War game being set in Egypt.
Okay. So wait, Kratos is going to Egypt?
Well, think about it. If you've taken out all of the Greek gods, the gods that are left are the ones who, you know, proclaim to be walking on the earth, which would be pharaohs, right?
Right.
Okay, so then you got, you know, pyramid jumping, and
But I wouldn't understand why Kratos would feel like he needs to go take out Egyptian gods. They didn't make him kill his wife and kid. Maybe.
I don't know, but, I mean, Kratos is left wandering the world. So, you know, he may have just think that all gods are assholes and wants to
But then
the
wouldn't
world
he
of,
potentially need to turn in on himself because he himself is a demigod, a product of God?
Ultimately, he may do that once they're all wiped out. Who knows?
Now all that is left is me. And then he jumps off a cliff again.
Again.
You know what? He should just stop jumping off of cliffs, because obviously that does not kill him.
Like, I would think that you would learn after the third time you were off the cliff.
Maybe you should just, like, eat chicken and swallow a bone and just end it.
That wouldn't do
maybe
it.
Maybe you should just fall down some marble stairs.
Maybe, I don't know. I don't know that would
backwards dive, I am a golden god off the back of a building.
So that's the first thought, and then
what a cheery one.
The other thought is that it's possible to allude to DLC, where you'll pick up Kratos. And that he may end up going after another god, who I think it was Mithilos, who was in the Egyptian world, both a god of the sun and the god of war, which being a god of war game would make sense that
he'd go after other gods of war.
Correct. That
word. That would make some... That is enough of a staple for me to think, maybe.
And so...
It's a decent stretch.
And so then if you're talking about a god that is common in both Greek and Egyptian lore, then that would make more sense for Kratos to be traveling from Greece to Egypt to, you know, take out these gods. And when you think about, you know, different enemies that Kratos has fought in games, and, you know, I remember thinking, why do these enemies that I'm fighting have an Anubis head? Like, that makes no sense. Anubis heads weren't in Rome. But if you have an overlapping of gods,
then that very well. But, then that but could why, make but sense. But why would Greek gods have control over Egyptian?
Well, you gotta remember that you had a lot of gods in common between Greek and Roman and Egyptian, because they're all in that same basin. So you had a lot of overlap.
Yes.
Of gods, where the Greeks would call this god by this name, the Romans would call this god this name, but it was still, to both of them, the same god. The same thing with Egyptians. You'd have, you know, the god of war.
All right. You sold me. You're right, because there are a lot of different names for the same exact god.
So I feel like if that is, in fact, foreshadowing and set up for the next game, then I'm looking forward to it. And then if you then put Ascension in the lineup in that way and treat it as, you know, a bridge game like Brotherhood and Revelation in the Assassin's setup, knowing that Sony is now coming out with a new console, would it not make sense that they would put all the eggs in the baskets in the storytelling and the deep game in the game that's going to continue the franchise?
That could possibly be a launch title.
And be numbered for the new system.
Yep.
And Ascension being a bridge game. And then when you say Ascension's a bridge game, then I go, okay, then it really makes sense for me. So that's why I disagree with you. I feel like if this game had been called God of War 4, I would agree with you and say, no, it wasn't, it's not a full 4. It's not a title by itself. It's not a milestone. It's not a touchstone game. It's a bridge game. But they didn't call it God of War 4. It's Ascension with a multiplayer. It's a bridge game. I think as a bridge game, it is absolutely fine the way it is. I think the last boss battle is by far the best boss battle that I've had in a long time on a game. Frankly, I think it's better than the end boss battle in the Tomb Raider reboot. It's better than the end boss battle in the DMC reboot. You know, the games I've played recently.
Yeah.
And I'm unapologetically, I love God of War Ascension. If you're a fan of the franchise, you gotta play it. If for nothing else, if you don't even play the single player, you gotta jump into multiplayer, because it's fucking God of War multiplayer.
All right, bro.
So, I think it's good.
All right.
I say buy that bitch.
You say buy that bitch.
I say buy that bitch.
Maybe wait until it goes on sale.
Yeah. Says the person who hasn't played it.
Yep.
Only watched from the shadows.
And not even fully watched because I fell asleep.
Correct.
What does that say about the game?
What does that say about your work schedule?
What does that say about the game?
I'm just saying, I think it's much more fair. You fell asleep during Tomb Raider and you're not bringing that up. You fell asleep multiple times during Tomb Raider. Passed out.
Because I was tired.
Exactly. So I don't think it's fair to say, what does it say about the game? I fell asleep.
Yeah, but I played Tomb Raider.
Yes, for two levels, and you haven't touched it since.
I played for 2 days, and then I let Hot Mess take over.
I know, and you haven't touched it since.
Nope.
And you were talking about going back and not even finishing where you started from, but starting over from scritchy scratch.
Yeah, well, because since we're going to jump into Tomb Raider really fast, the reason why I'm thinking I'm going to restart is because the area that my game file is left on, I don't think I'm strong enough to be in the area, and I'm struggling. And I want to go back and wander through the forest and kill things and salvage things and properly level things up. Because I feel like I should have done more of that.
So then why don't you just fast travel back to those places? You can do that.
Right now I'm at one of those points where you can't fast travel because I'm in the middle of a battle, I'm in the middle of a firefight that I can't get through. So that's my reason.
I'm just saying I don't think it's fair to say I fell asleep. So what does it say about the game? You fell asleep through other games too.
Yeah, but I played the other games.
I know, and I told you to play this one, and you didn't.
And I didn't.
And that's just your preference. Doesn't have anything to say against the game. So here's what I would say to you, Panda. I challenge you to play 2 hours of the God of War game. You can even play a new game plus.
That's cheating. I wouldn't do that.
Okay, fine. Full on new game then. Make a profile. But I feel like you need to actually play the game for a couple of hours before you can say whether or not it feels like a separate God of War game or not. I don't think it's fair to judge it off of three watch sessions. I don't count the second one. You fell asleep.
I fell asleep at all three of them.
That's what I'm saying.
So then in that case, you can't count any of them.
I'm averaging them out to two.
All right, fine.
But try to be nice.
Fine, two.
Because, you know, pandas be sleepy. I understand.
Because we're lazy. When we don't have to do anything, we're lazy bastards. Okay. I admit that about myself.
So I'm just saying, me personally, I think the boss battles are just crazy.
Amazing.
Like, seriously, the last battle, I was like, I can't believe that this shit is happening right now. This is ridiculous. So I really enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to the next game. I'm going to be playing multiplayer this week. The game, the PSN tag is Ninja Sister, just like the gamer tag on Xbox 360. So if you see me, holla, swing at me. Let's fight. Rawr, Kratos. So that's what we have to say about God of War 3. We are right now agreeing.
Well, Ascension.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ascension. We are now agreeing to disagree.
Yep. And that's okay, because
that happens. Okay. That happens. We don't always agree, even though I'm right, but it's okay.
Sure.
Exactly. Let's talk about PAX East.
Very quickly.
Yeah, we got time.
Anyway, so let me jump in front here, since this is a very ninja intensive episode.
I'm bummed about no Gamers Gone Wild party. Just saying.
A what? No what?
No Gamers Gone Wild.
Nope.
It died last year.
Yep, it thanks to Felt and its, you know,
Felt is dumb shit. Dummery.
Well, I shouldn't even say that because then they went to the Royale and the Royale was all like Royale, no nerds.
The Royale has always been a snooty fucking joint.
So I don't know why they'd say, yeah, you could have your nerd party here as long as your nerds are dressed like cool people. Fuck you, Royale.
Yeah, I've never liked the Royale.
Fuck you in the face.
Okay, but they were desperate. They wanted the party to go off. I don't slight Digital Noob. They tried their damnedest to not let it die, but
it's gone. And now I think Curse may reign supreme again this year with the top party of the night.
I feel like you are probably right about that.
Yes. And I mean, the Curse Party was fun, and now you'll get to experience it this year.
I will, because hopefully I'll be well
enough for it. But let me talk about the things that I'm
looking forward. Yeah, what are you excited about for PAX East, Panda, besides the fact that you're going?
Well, yeah, besides the fact that I'm going. Yay! I'm actually really curious about Gearbox because they are announcing, and this is DLC relatable stuff, but whatever. They're announcing and showcasing a sixth playable character in Borderlands 2.
What?
Yep. Now, mind you, we had our initial four.
Right.
We got the Mechromancer.
Yep.
This year, and now they're releasing and showcasing a sixth. I was hoping it was going to be a girl, and it's not, and that's okay.
It's all right.
This time we got two.
Yeah.
This time.
So, hey.
Which is great. But I'm really curious to see what crazy skill trees they have set up for this character and what it will add to the game.
Right. Because Gearbox is very good about adding characters that actually add things.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing. Like, the Mechromancer, and I know a lot of people are like, you know, the Mechromancer was really kind of set up to be that character that someone who's never played a Borderlands or that type of game could, learn the fundamentals of playing that game. So her skill trees are very particular. You want to do damage. There's one, like, you know, that's friend-oriented, so all the damage you do replenishes the health of your party and whatever.
Okay.
Like, that's the girlfriend tree. That's what I call it. Hey, girlfriend who's never played a game, just try to shoot at things and heal me. You don't really have to pay attention. And then the other one is just pure and utter carnage. I think it's called Anarchy, and it makes no sense. It really kind of challenges you to allot points in the right place to do what you want the character to do.
Right.
So, I mean, and I like that. So I'm looking forward to seeing what this new character is going to be like, what the tree is going to present to the casual gamer of a Borderlands series, and to the seasoned people who want something new and exciting and challenging. So that's really interesting. So I'm really looking forward to that. I am going to be sitting with Volition.
Volition.
And I'm really pumped about that, and I can't go into too much, but I mean, I'm sure if you've been following news,
oh, they made the announcement already.
You would have seen the trailer. Hopefully, you've seen the trailer. I got browbeat into watching this trailer because I had seen the news, and I'm like, yeah, totally awesome. And I was already sold on. I mean, I was ready for Saints Row 4.
After in the middle of Saints Row 3,
I was ready. And then when I was like, oh, it's the trailer. Yay. I don't need to see it because they already got my money in the future and I enjoy it. Like,
I put a pre-order on that shit in my mind as soon as the game started.
But a friend of mine was like, have you seen the trailer? And I'm like, no. And he's like, you need to fucking watch this trailer. Go fucking watch this trailer.
So
like,
he fucking watched the trailer.
He hounded me like for a full day. And literally, like, it was a weekend, so I had a lot of time. So literally he was like, did you see it yet? No. Did you see it now? No. Will you do it? No. Do it! Fine! And then I did it, and I'm like, alright, that was awesome. And it really was. So I'll put a link in the show notes this week so you guys can all take a peek out at that. And I have speculations, because if you look at the
speculations,
trailer...
Speculations, not aspersions.
Not aspersions, speculations. And I speculate this.
Speculate.
If you look at this trailer, like I said, I'm going to leave the link for you in the show notes... The graphics are higher notch than we've come to expect. And granted, Saints Row 3 has a lot going on. It's very flamboyant. It's in your face. It's meant to be loud and proud and, yay, we're special!
Have you played the DLC?
I did not play Enter the Dominatrix. If they released
They didn't
that.
Launch it. That was the one that they... That
was going to be its own disc, and then it didn't.
And then it wasn't. And then it was... Because it was like...
And then they're like, oh, you might see it somewhere else. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see that in this. But no, I didn't play that. But the graphic level from the trailer of all the in-game parts, like that were not FMV or like, you know, movie, were very clean and polished. And I have I feel like we're going to see this on a next-gen console.
Aha, now we get to it.
Yes. I don't think, from the graphics that we've seen in this trailer, that this game is really... Like, there might be an Xbox version, Xbox 360 version, but I think it might be a Wii U title. It may be something that we see in the new PS4.
Well, I don't disagree with you. I mean, because here's the thing, right? Sony said in their announcement that the PS4 is shipping this holiday.
So, I mean, in order for Microsoft to be competitive in the market, they need to release a next-gen console now.
You would hope.
Now, okay,
but they could be taking their time to get it right. But the screens that we may be seeing, the videos that we may be seeing right now, may be from
product of the next-gen console.
Correct. So, I think that you're right.
I have a weird itch in my loins about this.
In your loin?
In my gamer loin. It's like...
They make cream for that.
It's clean.
I'm just saying, if you have an itch in your loins...
It's like an inkling. It's a little tingling sensation in my gamer loins.
That's not clean.
About this.
Ink in your loins is not clean.
But anyway, so I feel that that's what is going to be alluded to at PAX East this year, out of the Volition Gate, which I think is absolutely great.
I'm just glad that Saints 4 is happening.
I'm glad
that Volition survived.
Yeah, me too. I'm glad they found a new adoptive mommy and daddy.
I'm glad. And I just hope that their new parents treat them well.
And they don't lock them in the basement and beat them.
Don't lock Volition in the basement.
And I hope that the next Saints Row game has something better than the dildo bat.
I don't know. What's better than a dildo bat?
Well, I mean, if you look at the trailer, like, at the very end, there's some concept art that your character from 3 becomes, like, the president of the fucking United States of fucking America. So, what would the president use to put the smack down on people?
A golden dildo bat?
Well, I mean, that would be very bloody. You'd bloody your golden dildo bat. And it wouldn't be very flexible. You want that flexibility because you want to be able to hit multiple people with the tip of your cock. Of your dildo.
I don't know how to follow that statement.
Exactly. But, so yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I'm spending some time with Square Enix.
Yeah.
Which I love those guys, and they've been really great to me.
And I'm also
going to spend a little more intimate time with Bethesda.
Well, with Square Enix, you're going to get to see some of the Kingdom Hearts port, right?
Yes, the remix 1.5. So that stuff that's in between 1 and 2. That wasn't part of Recoded or Chain of Memories.
I'm so confused about the timeline on those ones.
It's like Zelda.
I know. It's so hard to
keep up. It's so like Zelda. And by the end of it, you're like, I give up. But that's fine. I'm going to spend some time with that, yes. And they also are showing a Wii U title, an announced Wii U title. So I'm really curious to see what they have in store there. And there's a couple of other things from them that I'm going to be like, can I talk to you about this really quick? And I kind of hope they have snacks like they did last year because that was amazing.
It's always good when you feed
Panda because then she's happy, she's in a good mood, and she'll want to write nice things for you when you feed her.
Yeah.
And then I said, last but not least, I'm going to spend a decent chunk of time with Bethesda.
Now, what are you spending time with Bethesda on?
I'm going to spend time with the Elder Scrolls Online.
Ooh.
We knew this was coming.
Yeah.
Guys, we knew the Elder Scrolls Online was coming. It was only a matter of time. And I'm pretty pumped for it because I really liked Skyrim. I played the fuck out of Skyrim. I still have to finish Skyrim. I haven't collected all the words yet.
You took an arrow to the knee and that really slowed you down.
I took an arrow to the knee and it slowed down my process. But there's so much going on in the game that, you know, you could not finish it and still feel very satisfied in the life that you live in the game. And I think the Elder Scrolls Online is going to just magnify that and on an even bigger scale than Skyrim, which is kind of hard to fathom, I know. But fathom it, I will. And talk about it, I shall.
And write about it, I will.
Yeah, that wasn't right.
That wasn't right.
And then I plan to do some visits with the indie people.
Because we love some indies.
Indies are so nice to us, and we love giving them hugs, and they often feed me, too.
Because they are of us and have the snackages.
Yeah, snackages. But yeah. So, I mean, those are the things that I'm looking forward to, and I anticipate a Harlem Shake somewhere in the vicinity of PAX.
Oh, there's going to be several Harlem Shakes.
Harlem Shakes are going to probably happen instantaneously all at the same time.
And to be honest with you, I'm kind of glad that the Harlem Shake came out, so that way it wouldn't end up being like Gangnam Styles, because I feel like that was really old. So I'm glad that there's, you know, Harlem Shaking instead of that as the thing.
I wonder what the new thing is going to be.
I don't know, but... I mean, we could Taylor Swift, is all I'm saying. If you wanted to go Taylor Swifting.
Oh my god, we should totally Taylor Swift at PAX East this year.
I'm just saying.
I'm Taylor Swifting!
I'm just saying.
Mate, let's make it a thing.
Just saying, we could do that.
Okay.
Me, I am looking forward to Assassin's Black Flag because I admit I'm a UB whore.
You are?
I am. Splinter Cell Blacklist is on my list of things that I want to check out. I want to spend time with Watch Dogs. I think that's going
to
be amazing.
I want to play the fuck out of Watch Dogs.
So I've got...
It's like Sleeping Dogs. See, there are Sleeping Dogs and there are Watch Dogs.
And Watch Dogs, I don't think...
And there are Wiener Dogs. That's going to be the next game after Watch Dogs. Wiener Dogs.
I think...
And they're going to be like spy dogs that like infiltrate wieners.
No, just stop. Right there.
That is going to be Scottish hounds.
No, 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 no.
It's going to be like a Scottish version of Watch Dogs?
No, it's not.
Then there's going to be Hound, just plain Hound.
No.
And they're going to be like hillbilly cops in the trees, in the bayou.
No.
Then there's going to be space dogs in space.
No.
And then poodle.
No. I said no.
French spies.
Stop it. So I'm really excited about seeing all of that stuff. I think that's going to be a really great booth tour.
Especially poodle.
Stop it. No dogs in space.
Dogs in space.
I'm excited about spending some time with the indies. I think that the just the sheer amount of independent game developers that are going to be exhibiting at the show is really exciting to see. And there's a lot of different types of games, both XBLA and PSN, downloadable types, mobile gaming. There's a chunk of those guys. There are a lot of developers who are creating bridge games between tabletop and traditional gaming on console as well as mobile. So I'm really excited to really spend some time with the independent developers. I'm also looking forward to spending some time with Bethesda as well. They're going to be showing off and talking about some Dishonored content, which I think is cool because I love the Dishonored game, and it's really fun to see more DLC coming to the light for that game. Harmonix is going to be in the building, so it's always fun to run over and see if I can figure out what they're going to be up to next. And what they're doing, and with the announcement of the new engine that they're working with, I think there may be some fun new stuff announced by them pretty soon. I don't know if PAX East is going to be a quick look at something, or if they're going to save it for E3, but I'm running by there because I just like...
You just want to know.
I do.
I want to know!
I'm nosy like that.
I'm nosy.
You know, so I think that that's going to be cool.
It's some hot dish fondue for two.
I haven't seen or heard anything about the panels yet.
Panels!
So I'm curious to get that information and know what panels are happening where.
What you gonna talk about in your panel? We want to know!
Because I definitely want to hit up a couple of those.
Panels!
I enjoy doing panels at PAX East. And then, woo! Frankly, the cosplay. Like, cosplay last year really blew up at PAX. There were a whole lot of people that...
I'm going to cosplay as that bitch from Journey. With the robe.
You don't have a mask.
My face is my mask.
Your face is not your mask.
My face is my mask.
We've had this conversation, Panda. Your face is not your mask. It's not. But I really feel like, you know, last year the cosplay was kicked up a notch. Like, there was so much good cosplay. You know what I mean? Wink, wink.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to, you know, taking photos of a lot of different cosplayers and putting those up. You know, the thing I love most about PAX is that it's so open and inviting for the entire community. That the thing I love most about it is just, like, watching the community enjoy and geek off of itself.
Geek off.
And then, obviously, the concerts. Because those are fun. Anytime I get to see Frontalot and Protoman, I'm happy, so...
Well, I mean, you're totally going to see that on Sunday, girl.
So, PAX East, it's going to be a blast. We're going to have some interviews. We are going to have our roundtable like we talked about. And I hope you join us for our coverage. And we want to hear from you. If there are things that you want us to check out, you can tweet at us. And if we have the ability to make it happen on the show floor, we'll let you know and we'll put those reviews out.
When you wish upon an ash. That's it.
I was going to let you go because you seemed like you were going to go.
So. That was my pearl of wisdom.
All right.
You can wish on an ash and see what happens.
Make sure that you check out the website and you keep in touch with us on Twitter and on Facebook to stay in the know as we go around PAX East 2013. So to keep up with all the different stuff that we write about, think about,
dream about,
all that stuff, make sure that you check out our website, www.egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. That's where you'll find our reviews, previews, thoughts, rumblings, droppings, and all that kind of stuff.
Droppings?
Thought droppings.
Oh, well, specify thought droppings.
I just said thought droppings.
I'm not going to take pictures of my shit for you guys. That's some sick shit.
That's just nasty.
Ew.
You nasty.
Don't ask me that.
Ew. But the podcast home will always be www.electricsisterhood.com or our short address, which is
ESH.co. That is ESH.co. The short address is a bunch of the long one. You can check out any articles written within the week. All questions and comments should go on our Facebook page.
Facebook.
Facebook.com/Land of Esh. Oh, yes, this podcast, we do it.
That's right. You can get our podcast by going to the iTunes Music Store on your desktop, the iTunes Podcast application on your mobile device, or the Microsoft Store, and searching for Electric Sisterhood and hitting the subscribe button to ensure that you get our podcast episodes the moment we put them out on the web. Or if you're not living La Vida I or have a Microsoft device, you can
plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. But if you're looking for us, you should look for our friends too.
That's right, because we're not the only thing that makes up the Land of Esh. No. While we put out brand new episodes of our podcast traditionally on Mondays, you can follow that up with a brand new episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade podcast, co-hosted by our homeboy, King Baby Duck, on Tuesday, where they talk about video games, music, entertainment, all kinds of stuff in the nerd realm. Follow that up on Wednesday with a brand new episode of the Geek Aggro podcast, held down by our homeboy, Deuces Wild, which is all about music, independent,
we're doing it for ourselves.
It's cool as shit.
Don't dream it, be it.
Check out the Issues Guy program, streaming live. You can call in, share your issues, because he's got issues, you got issues, y'all can have issues together.
He's got issues, we got issues, yeah.
And then, for the rest of the week, keeping your nerd needs satiated, there's all the stuff we write about, like I said, that you can find at egmnow.com/electricsisterhood, and all of our partner networks, relative websites, geekaggro.com, bostonbassbrigade.com, issuesguy, issuesprogram.com. Make sure that you check out our network. They are just some of the coolest people on the planet. I love working with them. I think you really dig their shit, so make sure that you check it out. Then there's all the stuff that happens. You can interact with us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/landofesh. You can tweet at us if you want all the news, all the reviews as we put up new articles and things like that. Then you want to make sure that you're following at ESH News. If you want to follow the independent people, the voices that make up the Land of Esh, the simplest way is to go to my page, twitter.com/ninjasista. There is an H on the end, and check out the Land of Esh list, and that has all the people that make up our team. Make sure that you follow those people, because they are hysterical. You'll absolutely love them. Your Twitter feed will thank you for it.
You're welcome.
So, we've come to that point in the show where I say, Panda.
Yes?
What shit you digging this week?
I'm actually digging Borderlands 2 with friends.
Uh-huh.
Because it's fun.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
It is.
Yep.
You should try it.
Mm. Yes. I should.
What are you digging this week?
AKB 0047. I'm sorry. AKB 0048.
That is an awesome series. I am pretty addicted.
I will be writing about that series probably right before we pack for PAX this East. But it's an anime series. It's on Crunchyroll. It's absolutely adorable. You should check it out. I love it. But that's what I'm digging. So, I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we'll talk to you guys next week from PAX East.
Bye.